I don't do my tricks unless the audience earns it.
Oh,
I like that. You gotta work for it. Oh my God, I'll be begging in the front. Hi, this is Shannon.
And Kristen, you're better known as the Vogel Twins.
Yay!
Woohoo!
So today we are taking you to Fire Island. So to give you a reason as to why Fire Island, we want to give you a little bit of history. So did you know that the Invasion of the Pines is an annual event held on Fire Island that has been an important part of the island's drag culture? The event takes place on the 4th of July and involves a parade of drag performers who make their way from the neighboring town of Cherry Grove to the upscale community of Fire Island Pines. The parade, which began in 1976, is a playful take on the American Revolution, with performers dressed in elaborate costumes that play homage to the founding fathers. The Invasion of the Pines is a celebration of drag and LGBTQ+ culture, as well as a way to push back against the elitism and exclusivity that has historically been associated with Fire Island Pines community. The event has grown in popularity over the years and now attracts thousands of visitors to the island each summer. It is a testament to the enduring power of drag as a form of resistance and a means of bringing communities together. So, in honor of Pride Month, on today's episode, we are thrilled to welcome a true star of the drag scene. This queen has dazzled audiences with her stunning performances, incredible costumes, and unmatched charisma. She's a true icon of the LGBTQ+ community in Fire Island, and a shining example of what the power of self-expression and acceptance. Please join us in welcoming the one and only Pixie Aventura!
Yay!
Pixie, it's Hello. So nice to finally have you on and meet you. Thank you again for coming on.
Yes.
Well, the first thing I want to address, though, can you tell us about your journey in becoming a drag queen? What inspired you to start performing in drag?
So I'm a theater kid from the get-go. I went to, I know, that's kind of like the common thing now.
No,
but
I love
listen,
it.
I've been doing it for 17 years, and I started drag when it was not cool. Where it was like talking down to someone like, oh, you couldn't make it as a chorus boy, so you're a drag queen. Yeah, that's what it was.
How dare you? Rude.
Now it's like, oh, yeah, I'm a drag queen because I was a theater student. I was like, no, screw that. Can we curse on this?
Absolutely, of course. Fuck them.
So I started my theater journey, I'm going to say truly in middle school, but I did go to performing arts high school in Miami. Okay. And then that led me to my university at Otterbein in outside of Columbus, Ohio. And that is where I started my drag career. It was like an extracurricular thing. I was one of the founding divas of the drag show there, which is still going on. It's like a big part of it, of like the environment now.
I love that.
But it wasn't serious. It was more like an extracurricular activity. And then I moved to the city, and it was like 2 years of like hardcore auditioning and not getting anything. I would always get to the end. And even before I actually left school, I felt like I was being whitewashed, being pigeonholed to fit like this mold of what musical theater was supposed to be. And I was believing it, and it wasn't until I was here in the city after a while that I was like, I love performing, and I'm being held back from performing from powers that be that I have no control over. So I decided to take control over my artistry, and drag just presented itself in a way that allowed me to experiment, to play, to be an idiot, and be creative. And that is where drag came into the picture for me, truly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and honestly, I would say that, like, drag is often seen as a form of, like, an expression and liberation. And I'm just kind of curious, like, how has drag helped you explore your identity and connect with your audience?
I always like to say that drag has taught me more than school did.
Of course. That's with anything. Even I would say that. With even my education,
you learn,
I'm like,
from doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But beyond that, it was, I feel also my Latinness and my queerness was being held back because once again, you were supposed to be fitting a mold. And I didn't grow up with that kind of representation of Latinness and queerness and together. You know, I grew up with a lot of machismo. My childhood was great, but overall the environment was very much machismo. And I just realized that after doing drag a while, I was like, oh, you know what? I am really proud of my Latin heritage. And specifically, I'm a first generation. And there's a lot of stories within being Latin, because you have the migratory story, you have the first generation story, or you have the story that you've been here for a while. But then you add on the queerness to that. So there's different levels and different stories that I still don't see in the media. So I kind of fit with that. I'm not Latin enough and I'm not American enough, which is overheard many, many times, especially when it comes to first generation kids. And then you add on the queer aspect of it and you're just kind of like, gotta find my own path. And that's what I've had to do. I've had to find my own path, and drag has allowed me to do that. And allowed me to embrace all aspects of me, not just what everybody else perceives that my experience is.
Oh, that's beautiful, honestly.
I know.
Honestly, I like love your tenacity, like you said. Like personally, like I like you mentioned that you're like, you know, your first generation. This is like a really big, like this is like a really big journey for you and your family. And then add to the queerness to it, it's just a whole other obstacle that I am so incredibly impressed that you used drag as an expression to kind of overcome that. But also like you mentioned earlier, like there was no representation for you. And the fact that you still trailblazed through that to kind of also be like someone else's inspiration. That's like amazing. Because I mean, you mentioned a little bit earlier how, you know, you're like, I did drag before it was cool, you know, like, like you really did something that you were so passionate about. And I'm just kind of curious, what was, because I know you mentioned earlier, you're like a theater kid. What was maybe the performance or like a movie that really inspired you to be like, you know what, like, I want to keep doing this. I want to be the representation that needs to be shown, because there isn't representation in this like community right now at that moment in the time that you really pushed yourself to keep going through this, the struggles, because I can imagine the amount of rejection really puts a damper on, you know, self-esteem, you know, like that. I know for myself, when you go through something you really love and like you keep getting the no's, it's like, how do you keep going through that and believing in yourself to keep going, you know?
Okay, so you just asked me a lot. Hold on.
Yes, I did. I was having an epiphany because I'm just like visualizing your journey and I'm like, oh my God, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, you know? Like that's kind of where it's coming from. I apologize.
No.
Got excited. So
the first thing is, it's still ongoing. Yeah. It's just because we have one movie or we have one show where there is Latin queerness represented, that's just one. It's still like trying to find a path into getting opportunities, first of all. But like I see TV now, and yes, we have shows that have a lot of queerness on it, but even then you're just still trying to break down those barriers of what a minority within a minority is.
Absolutely.
And to go back, the first show that I saw, I'm gonna say, is that performer, the first show that I saw, or movie, it was A Chorus Line, the movie. And there was something that I connected to the character Paul without even me doing drag. It was just, I was like, oh, this feels interesting to me. This feels like I can connect to it completely. He had to change his name to seem more white. He had to, he was Latin. He was queerness. There's a moment where he has, in the movie at least, but in the show as well, that he has a moment with Morales, and it's like a very small stint of like two Latin people within the arts interacting, and almost like she being the mother figure and being like, hey, don't put yourself down, like you're worthy just as much. And without me knowing, subconsciously, that rang a bell in me that I was just like, I didn't realize this until later on, that I was like, I have to do me. Even though I felt out of that for a long time. then going into college and finding musical theater truly, I would say that, you know, for the longest time, I've always said that, oh, we only have three musicals. We have West Side Story. We have now, we have In the Heights, which came decades later. And then On Your Feet. But recently I was like talking to my friends and I was like, you know what, guys? There are more musicals. There's Evita. There's Kiss of the Spider Woman. It's just that it's always been played by white people.
That's so true. That's so frustrating. The
whitewashing is so frustrating.
I know. It's so frustrating. It's like, why can't we just have representation?
Well, I think that, like you mentioned earlier, like the whitewashing is just like, especially like the origin of the story. Yeah. It's just like, it's a beautiful story. And like to not stay true to what the story's purpose is just disheartening for the viewers who are connecting to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And there might be a disconnect to be like, there's something there that just isn't working, but you, like you're mentioning earlier. So I want to have you continue what you were saying.
Yeah.
So the first time that I saw queerness and drag, I feel, were Mrs. Doubtfire, Tu Wong Fu, Priscilla Queen of the Desert, and The Birdcage. And seeing these movies, it never came with any judgment attached to it. It was always like an admiration for the performers, the talent, just a celebration of it all, which is ironic because now we're in a time where people are just condemning drag queens. And I'm like, but we all grew up with it.
Literally. Mm-hmm. I know.
We all grew up with it. Why is it a problem now? Mm-hmm. Why, like, the fact that Wesley Snipes, John Leguizamo, and Patrick Swayze, who were all, like, men of that time period, were able to do it. And but there goes the same thing because it all came off. Mm-hmm. It all came off. And it was all like, oh, we're all in on the joke. Mm-hmm. But now we're at a time and place where I was like, that's a very specific knit group of people, or not even people, characters. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like they're just trying to tie it in with, it's not a joke anymore. And no, like people are really trying to like groom people to become gay or become trans, which is a problem.
Yes, absolutely.
But when I saw it, there was never no judgment. It was almost like a curiosity of like, wow, this is amazing. There's so much here that I just don't know, but I know that I'm entertained by it. Absolutely. And I know that I connect to it in some way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Mrs. Doubtfire is one of my favorite movies, honestly.
Yeah.
I love that. I quote it all the time. Hello.
Literally.
Like, iconic.
I quote all
iconic.
No, but you have a lot of really amazing points on that.
Honestly. Oh, absolutely.
And I have to say, now that you've been so inspired by so many, you know, different types of movies, different people, can you walk us through your creative process when it comes to putting together a drag performance? How do you choose the costume, music, and overall aesthetic for yourself?
I love behind the scenes. Me too.
There is not one way to do it. I feel like any artist, painter would say, you're inspired by what you see in general. It could start with a sound clip of something funny that I'm like, oh my God, this is hysterical. I know that I could perform the hell out of this. Or it could come from a song that I'm just like, I love this song completely. I want to do something to it. Or it might come from a look. If I'm like recreating a Halloween look, for example, it's like, okay, how do I tell my version of the story of this character, of this look? So it really just comes down to what I'm inspired by at that moment. There's just not one way around it. There are actually, I have mixes in my playlist, in my Apple Music, where it's just like, it's not there yet. It's just waiting. And because I haven't gotten the material yet.
Okay.
Oh, I like that.
Do you have like a specific genre of like music, or is it really like that much of a range for you that like, you know?
It is.
Really?
I love that though.
No, that must be so fun though. You're not bounded by one thing. You know what I mean? Like there's that expression, I feel like, that we hear with drag. It's like there's so many elements to it that I think that's what makes it so fun as someone to watch, or anyone, especially even for you, to just be able to experiment and to play with like any sort of elements in music, art, and all of that.
And the costume, I feel like that like, what's like actually your favorite element maybe that you're drawn to more? Like, is it like
maybe it helps you start?
That makes you start. Is there like an element like maybe like the costume you're inspired by? Or is it is it very eclectic? Or is there maybe one element in the process that you lean more towards of enjoyment than others?
It is just very eclectic. Yeah. Honestly, I honestly make it a point though to look up different types of music. Okay. This is why I've become such a huge fan of Eurovision. Because
I love Eurovision.
Like, for example, there's like 38 new songs that have come out for this year's Eurovision, and it's like that every year. And it's because I'm also thinking as a business person, if someone is going to come to my show and they're going to see the same numbers that other shows are doing, how is that going to work out for myself, for the bar, to make money? So I'm always researching and just looking at music to see what inspires me. I am not a fan of just performing top 40 just to perform top 40. I will never go on stage and perform a song because, like, oh, I like it. There's just one thing about knowing the words and getting up there and doing it and, like, hitting your drag tricks. It's like, okay, what are you trying to say with this one song? And if it's not just a song, it's like, what is a story? What are the mixes, sound clips that you're putting in to create a story?
Absolutely.
Like, you want to have the audience not being able to guess what is going to happen next.
That's smart.
The whole point of performing.
Absolutely.
It's just like, if I'm going to sit there and know that you've done all your tricks in the first number, and then you're going to do them again in your second number, it's like, okay, well, I know what you're doing. You're going to do your tricks. You're going to do this. And that's it.
Yeah.
You can't rely on just doing the drag kicks and the drag. I don't do my tricks unless the audience earns it.
Oh,
I like that.
You gotta work for it. Oh my God, I'll be begging in the front.
Yeah.
No, that's true though.
If you're giving me nothing, why am I gonna put myself through it?
Oh, that's so true.
So that I can get like one. No. I had been saying about it allows me to play with every card on the deck. And unfortunately now I feel like we've gone to a place where people are trying to define drag and define what drag is supposed to be because of specific shows that we have. And the whole point of drag is that there is no definition. Like, there is not one right way to do drag with any type of art. But people are just so gung-ho about defining it, and it's like they come to the show and if they don't expect to hear the phrases or see the tricks that they see on TV, then that's not drag.
That is so fascinating.
I know,
that's such a good point.
That is honestly a very valid point. And honestly, actually, that is a question. I remember that's actually one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, because I know drag has gained, like, you know, mainstream popularity in the recent years with shows like RuPaul's Drag Race bringing, like, drag into the spotlight. How do you think this, like, increased visibility, like, has it impacted the drag community and the broader conversation around gender and sexuality?
Well, first off, absolutely, it has put drag in the limelight, and with that has come many opportunities, and I've been able, in an indirect way, to be able to experience that, experience it and be able to get work because of everything that's gone in the limelight. But with that also comes, like I was saying, this whole urge of trying to define what drag is, coming into the situation and knowing what drag is. The amount of times that I've had auditions where, and like, we have a great meeting, and then they're like, oh, and can you dip? Oh, not even dip. Can you shablam? Can you split? Can you kick? Can you can you vogue? And you're just kind of like, you know, if I'm able to entertain without having to do that, why am I now required to still have to do that? Even though if I can. That's not the point.
Absolutely.
What you're saying to me is like, oh, we need to like do the bottom of the barrel of like entertainment and do the tricks that we know people are going to like go crazy over.
Yeah.
Ugh. I feel like as an artist, that must be frustrating.
You know what it feels like?
Yeah.
Do you remember So You Think You Can Dance?
Yes!
When they would do... when they would do performances and they would do like one incredible trick or something.
Yeah.
And the audience would just like like go crazy and it might be an emotional piece and you're just kind of like, can you shut up? Yeah. Can you shut the hell up? Like this, like I'm trying to watch and all you hear is like, yeah! And I'm like, shut up.
It's like, I just need to see this performance played out the way it should be as an artist.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And that must be frustrating, like, as an artist to, like, you know, you want to bring new elements into your performances and, like, them not being
limited, you know, to a certain
into
degree.
This box that, like, drag should not be put into a box.
That's the whole
point
of drag.
That's what I mean.
It's out of the
self-expression. Like, you know, drag has historically been a space for LGBTQ plus individuals to find community and support. And I was curious, like, how has your experience been in the drag community? And what role do you think drag has played in the broader movement?
So when I first started drag in the city, within Hell's Kitchen, mm-hmm. within Manhattan, mm-hmm. I was one of the few Latin girls. I was like the token Latin girl. Oh. And I was very much against being that. Mm. I'm not like, there was definitely Queens girls that was like, but like, I feel like every neighborhood, every island, mm-hmm. or not even island, yeah. not even.
Borough.
Every borough.
Mm-hmm. And I just feel like until after a few years of Drag Race, I feel like there's been a lot of back and forth of like people performing in different parts of New York City. Mm-hmm. But when I started, it was pretty much defined to where you were. So I was kind of like the token Latin girl. And even then I was like very much against it because I was like, no, I can do more. Like any mm-hmm. artist would say, like, I'm more than just that.
Yeah. Of course.
And it got to the point where I was like, you know what? Yeah, I am. And I'm really good at what I do mm-hmm. as a Latin queen. But I'm also really good as a queen in general. Mm-hmm. And I can outperform you bitches. Mm-hmm. So that was my experience early on. Mm-hmm. I've also always treated it as a business. I am a performer from the get-go. I never needed drag to go out and interact with people. Mm-hmm. Like, I was never self-conscious in that way. I never needed drag to be around a group of people. Mm-hmm. There's something wrong with that. Mm-hmm. It's just that I feel like drag is used as a utility depending on the person. And for me, mm-hmm. it was just a way of being able to work as a performer and an entertainer. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I feel like I'm not part of the kiki all the time, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it's kiki.
I like to do my job.
Yeah.
I like to do my money.
Yeah.
I like to put money into my savings and have my meetings with my financial team.
Yeah.
And if that means that I go home and I watch TV instead of like continuing to be out and get drunk, I'm very much okay with that.
Good. Identifying what you want to do. I think that's like, you know, a goal.
Get your money.
Get your money and do what you need to do. And then, you know, honor what you want to do.
Especially with taxes. This year taxes has fucked over nightlife.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine. Like,
yes.
No, we're artists, so we get it.
We get it.
Like, damn.
Taxes. I feel like I got like my taxes back and I was like, the fuck? Like, what the hell is this? It wasn't
people
great.
People in nightlife mm-hmm. go in the thousands. Like, it's not cute. It's not cute.
What the hell?
Oh my God, I can't even.
I know.
But speaking of your show, so maybe make it less painful after your tax season.
Yeah.
Can you share with our listeners what you're currently working on and any upcoming projects or performances that you're excited about?
Yeah.
So Fire Island starts in a month.
Yes.
That's going to be great. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be out there every Monday. Yes. I do have my regular shows on Sunday and Tuesday mm-hmm. and Wednesday. I unfortunately just gave up my Thursday show at Playhouse. So I won't. This is actually my last Friday, my last Thursday this week. I gave up that show. That was my newest show. Mm-hmm. It was my baby. Mm-hmm. It was called Fuego. Mm-hmm. And it was a Latin night party celebrating mm-hmm. Latin music in general, but also the artists. So it was all drag drag queens, burlesque performers, singers, mm-hmm. dancers, all Latin people. And slowly but surely, through location, I don't know. It just mm-hmm. got to the point where I was not happy or content with the material that I was putting mm-hmm. out. because I had to dumb it down. Mm-hmm. Okay. I had to make it accommodating for the type of audience that was coming in that wasn't necessarily as appreciative of what was going on.
Yeah.
And I have three rules when it comes to performing a show. It's either that I'm making good money, I am very fulfilled with what I'm putting out, or the audience is just like so in it to win it that I'm like, okay, at least one of these parts is filling in. And none of those were doing it.
Oh, that's a bummer.
There were moments backstage where I was like telling the cast, I was like, all right, let's just get through it. Mm. And that to me is a sign of like, let me just step away from this for a while because I don't want to get to a place where I am unhappy.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Wanting to quit drag and
drag. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So yeah, it was time to let it go.
Bye-bye.
Well, beyond that, I am doing a lot of auditions. I'm kind of wanting to, and I feel like this is the first time that I'm saying this.
Exclusive.
A recorded. Yes. No, not even. I'm just trying to find a way out of nightlife.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to still be a performer.
Of course.
But I've just gotten a taste of like top tier level. And I was able to hold my own there and I was able to thrive.
Yes, that's what's up.
And not saying that I'm above nightlife now and above working at a bar, but I'm just kind of like, I think it's time for me to do the next step, whatever that is.
Oh my God.
That's beyond exciting.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, honestly, I feel that's natural. Like you said, it's like you go through like phases in your career and like you explore that part in your career. And now this next phase is just like you're ready to keep pushing.
You're ready to elevate that. And I also want to give you kudos on also acknowledging. I feel like that those sort of the three things that you've mentioned, I think that's honestly like in all aspects of life to always like bring back to yourself to be like, am I being fulfilled? Am I happy in doing this? Do I want to keep going? Because something that you love and you want to flourish, like you never want that light to dim down. I think that's so important to, there are moments to take a step back, you know, like to be like, hey, like I'm not loving this, but I do love what I do. So I need to do something differently or, you know, it might be the venue, whatever it is, you know, but I think that's, I want to give you kudos on that because I feel like a lot of people don't do that. They think they're like, I have to keep pushing through. And you're like, sometimes taking a step back gives you two steps forward into your, you know, career, your life, depending.
Yeah.
So I love that, honestly.
Hopefully. Yes. Absolutely.
We're going to manifest that for you right now.
We're manifesting it.
We're putting it out in the universe right now.
Now that we're telling our listeners that they can travel and see your shows, we will make sure that you'll get like a nice, I mean, I'm sure you get enough crowds to begin with, but we can give you more, hopefully.
Oh my gosh. Like, I'm excited. We'll definitely be probably seeing you in the Pines.
Yes. I know. We plan to go to Fire Island ourselves and see one of your shows.
Absolutely.
We're Long Islanders, so we go to Fire Island all the time, and we like love the.
We have a lot of friends. They love going there.
Yes, and we are Fire Island lovers, so we were so excited to meet you specifically, and a performer who's like does Fire Island, but also does shows in the city, who's really well versed in the drag scene in the space. So I'm so excited that you've taken the time today to chit chat with us, educate us on like just
your world,
the drag scene, and how people can get to watch and see your amazing performances, but also understand your process and
how you're an artist and know that drag should not be put in a box and it should be expressive and it should be new every time that you go to see it.
Yeah, and it sounds like your shows are incredible
and very thoughtful.
Yes, and I think that's so important as an audience member to go sit down and be awed and be surprised every time. I think that's a really cool element that you bring to your shows.
Yeah. So thank you for being here with us today.
Yes,
I really
thank
appreciate
you again.
It.
Well, thank you for having me. And I will see you out in the Pines this summer.
Look at you. You made it to the end. Now that we have you here, we'd like to do a little shameless plug-in.
Of course.
And encourage you to follow us on all social platforms at
The Vogel Twins.
If you want to know more about, like, in-depth about our travels, definitely check out our website, thevogeltwins.com.
Thanks for tuning in.
Bye!